Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Alpha Talks Editor's Roundtable. What moved markets this week? The week ending Friday, June 4th, 2021, a holiday shortened week where not very much happened, at least where the broader indexes are concerned. As we record this at noon on Friday, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are all right about where they ended last week. So is Bitcoin, incidentally. But there was a lot of movement around meme stocks. I want to say that AMC definitely stole the action this week. Massive moves to the upside, and then some selling yesterday before a rebound today. And Bitcoin had a bit of a different story, selling off today after, wait for it, a tweet from Elon Musk. Yes, once again, Elon Musk moving crypto markets with his tweets. I bring up crypto because we have our man down in Miami at the Bitcoin conference, Stephen Alfer. I will call on him in a minute. And let me introduce the rest of the panel now. Joined here by Brad Olison, the VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, the aforementioned Stephen Alfer, Managing Editor of Breaking News. I am your host and moderator, Nathaniel E. Baker, Senior Editor of Strategic Contributors here at Seeking Alpha. All right, I hinted at it at the outset. So let's start with Stephen. Tell us what you are seeing and hearing, and in general, your report from the Bitcoin conference down there in Miami.
Hi, guys. Well, it's quite as I'm astounded by the size of the event, totally filling up a convention center here. And one of the speakers this morning was Dan Hell, who's with Kraken. And Dan's been on my Alpha Trader podcast in the past. And Dan told a story when he was on my podcast months ago, how he was in a Bitcoin conference in San Francisco in 2013. And there were about 12 people there. And I'm astounded, you know, 8 years later, it's 12,000 people. And, you know, kind of old Wall Street hands would tell you, you want to buy an asset when 12 people are showing up to a conference, and you want to sell an asset when the whole world is showing up to a conference. That's kind of one takeaway, that this is not in the corners anymore. This is a run-of-the-mill asset. As we've talked about for the past few weeks on the show, it's in a bear market right now. And you can tell it's in a bear market because when Elon Musk comes up, you know, I mean, some 9-10 o'clock last night was an asinine tweet. The market goes down, right? And one day, I don't know if it's a week from now, or a month from now, or a year from now, he's gonna say something like that, and Bitcoin's gonna go up 10%, and then you'll know kind of, you know, the bear market's over. And it doesn't react to kind of moves.
How is the mood there, Stephen? Is it you say that Bitcoin is now and cryptos are now basically in a bear market? Would you know it by talking to people there and listening to them? Or are people still acting and speaking like this is the greatest thing since sliced bread and is continuing to go to the moon?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anybody talk about price at all. And some of the big heavy hitters all spoke this morning. Michael Saylor just finished up talking. And if they're at all concerned by the recent price action, there was no evidence of it. People weren't talking about, hey, where's what's the next move in Bitcoin, or should we worry that it's going down, or that kind of thing. It's more about the adoption. You know, the adoption continues to grow, and as the adoption continues to grow, the price will kind of take care of itself. Nobody's too concerned about it. That's kind of my takeaway as far as price action goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for your report. We apologize to everybody watching the video that we do not have Stephen on video. We tried it, but apparently there's not enough bandwidth down there to make it happen. My theory is that's because of all the Bitcoin miners, but I'm not sure if there's anything to that. It may just be shoddy hotel Wi-Fi.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you. And let's continue with the way we normally do the show now, with the big picture lay of the land and look at what moved markets with Kim Kahn.
Broader market wise, as you said, it's not a lot happened. We had 2 days and the holiday shortened week of absolutely pretty much no movement. Things got a little nervous, it seemed, yesterday, and the stocks were selling off. There's a lot of Fed speakers, and the tentative mood was kind of, we could be talking about tapering. That's what they're saying to tell us. And then we got the non-farm payrolls report this morning, which missed on the headline in payrolls, but not by too much. And the market kind of applauded. It gave them the kind of 500,000 number they're looking for enough steady growth in the labor market, but not enough to spook the Fed into tightening. So now, we're kind of looking at, if we're adding 500,000 jobs a month to recover the jobs lost, it takes another 16 months. That gives a lot of time to relax and, not make any moves and kind of, be on pause. And so we're kind of a little more off to the races today, and especially a movement in the treasury market as well. We're down about 6 basis points on the 10-year.
Interesting. All right. How about winners and losers? Brad Olson. I have a feeling the letters AMC are going to come up, but no guarantee. Let us know who the winners and losers were this week, Brad.
Yeah, it's also MEME, meme. I think that's kind of that sums up the week overall, at least as far as the winners are concerned, right? That's the meme stocks now include BlackBerry, AMC, GameStop, Clean Energy, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Sundial. Sundial's up 50%. Bed Bath & Beyond, I think, was up 70-some-odd% this week. And AMC, as you said, is up about 150%. The stat that jumped out at me is now the AMC stock, which was basically bordering on, I mean, I don't want to say insolvency, but there were some definite creditor concerns, and they've obviously gone out into the market and they're tapping existing shareholders for equity rounds of financing. But now they're now worth more than half of the current S&P 500 companies. That kind of tells you to what degree this equity appreciation has impacted their stock. And so there are all sorts of takes on now what AMC should do with all the money that they've been raising from their investors over the past week. But nevertheless, it's not slowing down the share price appreciation. At one point, when they did conduct a recent equity offering earlier this week, shares were down almost 25% in the pre-market. And then in short order, the shares were positive again. So that is definitely strength in the meme area of the market. But we can't forget that we still have a reopening story. The economic growth story is still strong. The non-farm payrolls, sure, it missed the estimates, still 500,000. I blame the miss in the estimates and the fact that there were lots of outliers in terms of the forecast. I saw one forecast as high as 1 million jobs, which is obviously going to impact some of the average consensus figures. But with that reopening story comes stronger economic growth story like crude, and crude is up almost 5%. WTI is up almost 5%, and that's helped some of these leveraged E&P and oil servicer names. So Devon Energy is up 15%, Schlumberger, Marathon Oil, Apache, Halliburton, all of those were big winners this week. Losers, if you weren't a meme stock, you weren't a winner this week. I think that's safe, but there were some Bitcoin losers, as Steve was mentioning. We're still kind of struggling with Bitcoin price overall. So that's Marathon Digital and Coinbase. Those two stocks were both down about 6% on the week. And there were some interesting losers in the retail space that I found was Under Armour, Gap, and Tapestry. PVH did report results, but overall, the tone wasn't terrible. Lululemon was also big earnings this week. So all of these kind of struggled despite the positive signs that we saw from Lululemon earnings. So it could just be a momentum name. The names are a little bit exhausted. And overall, growth and momentum stocks tended to lag overall this week, just from a factor perspective.
Right. We will give economists some credit. Yes, the estimates were all over the place, but the final number was a lot closer than last month. If you'll recall, the estimates for 1 million new jobs or so that ended up coming in at around 266,000. And some of the more optimistic estimates last month had about 2 million jobs they were expecting. But Right. Okay. So let's move on to the next segment of the show where we discuss our favorite stories, news stories, Seeking Alpha articles, contributor articles, tweets, and other things that we saw that caught our interest this week. Why don't we start with our man in Miami, Stephen?
My favorite story, and it's one I've talked about in the past, is the inflation story. And we had some newish numbers from the government on that. It wasn't a CPI number, it was a PCE number, which shows containment inflation. I'm struck by the difference between now and, say, coming out of the global financial crisis. You heard many of the same arguments there, right? The Fed is printing money by the trillions. They're going to unleash this great inflation. And it never happened after the financial crisis. In fact, inflationary conditions persisted for some time. It's different now. It's a completely different phenomenon. Prices are clearly going higher. I did the offsite airport parking on my way down to Miami. That place, that they've doubled the prices literally since the last time I flew, which was about 6 weeks ago. That's remarkable. And I asked them why, and they said, we can't get anybody to work. We had to jack up wages. The city boosted their fees a little bit too. So to me, that's the continuing story. Is this is a completely different field than coming out of the global financial crisis, and the Fed is going to have to act before 2023. I don't think there's any question.
Interesting anecdote there. So you said that the prices on the parking were what? They were six times higher. Did I hear that right?
Well, I'm sorry. They've doubled since the last time I flew.
Since
they
were 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago.
That's still pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we did see some Beige Book data earlier this week, right? They found that the selling prices increased moderately. Input costs rose briskly. And in the context of Beige Book, were citing sharp increases in construction and manufacturing raw materials. So that's still there, even though, there are people who are explaining the CPI numbers away. It's just a rate of growth differential, right? When we came down so far after the pandemic that we're just barely catching up to where we were. But Steve's anecdote there kind of indicates the opposite, that there is some on the ground figures that are materially moving.
Yeah, the question is, if this inflation, these higher prices are indeed transitory, as the Fed would insist it is, then will these people and companies lower their prices once the things return a little bit to normal and the Fed raises rates? That is the question. I would assume not, but what do I know?
Yeah, and wages are notoriously sticky.
All right.
So, Bank of America, they're lifting their minimum wage to $25 an hour. That's never going back under $25 an hour, right? So, yes, the price of oil might come and go. Maybe the price of parking might come and go, but the wages are pretty sick.
Yeah. Right. All right, Kim, what about you? Favorite stories?
I'm going to go a little deeper into AMC that we've mentioned and just, talk about how it's kind of becoming harder for the overall market to ignore. It's like before, like the first round we had, we're like, okay, it was the Reddit stocks, it's the meme stocks, and it'll go back down fast, and then people kind of forget about it. The more that these things happen, nobody's even sure if this was really an actual short squeeze on AMC, since the short interest hasn't come down that much. So it could be like a gamma squeeze of the options, but. The stickiness of AMC's price is, having its impact across the market. And I was writing a headline today that said it's like secondhand stonks. And it's basically like you're in a bar, someone's smoking and you're getting secondhand smoke. I mean, you're getting impacted by this AMC rise. Now, right now, AMC and GameStop are the top two stocks, the top two weighted stocks in the Russell Value 2000. So if you'd made the move to... Yeah, if you had made the move to value, these would be the stocks that would kind of be calling the tune for you in the past week. And, and we have I'm watching the story develop. We have our SEO team, which gives us info on Google searches throughout the day. And there's one just when AMC doubled. And all these terms are basically AMC, should I sell my AMC? How do I pay capital gains tax? What's next, penny stock? So, obviously the retail fever is still there and people are out looking for the next thing.
And if AMC and GameStop are value stocks, What does that say about everything else? I mean, how can they be value stocks?
Well, they were once, and I think just they haven't rebalanced the indexes. So I
they
think
need to get on that.
Because, they rebalanced on the 25th of this month, I think, actually. So okay.
There's still value as of recently. All right.
Yeah.
That's insane. Okay. Well, hopefully they'll kick them out at the next rebalance, but who knows? Brad, what about you?
All right, so obviously the main event, AMC, a little matinee here. The story that jumped out to me was their equity offering documents. So when they went out and raised capital, selling shares, obviously there was a story with Mudrick Capital where they bought shares at a premium to the close. Usually when you go out and you raise capital, and there's usually a discount associated with it, but they raised it at a premium. Mudger Capital came out, immediately sold it into the market, then tried to do it again. And an interesting warning sign came up in their equity offering documents, just warning investors about the extreme risk and volatility associated with owning their shares, and that they could, retail investors could potentially lose all of their investment by owning shares in the company, which is kudos to them for recognizing the risks inherent in their in owning their stocks. But I mean, definitely that jumped out at me as some sort of warning. And I think it's probably why you saw the spike in Google searches and, how do I sell my stock? If the company is telling you, beware, you may want to look into how to protect yourself.
Yeah. You may want to take that warning with heed. Yeah. And for me in general, just the return of retail investors, this has been going on for a while, really ever since the pandemic, but this to me shows that they are here. They're not going away, at least for a little while. I think that once higher interest rates take hold, they will go the same way that they went in the early 2000s. But this is something that is here to be reckoned with. And the way this is happening is apparently by controlling the options market. And that's how these retail investors are able to control movements in big stocks, even large cap stocks. So I suspect we are not done hearing about retail stocks or retail investors, about meme stocks, and about that whole dynamic. And again, until higher interest rates take hold and there's a crash of some sort and the fundamentals take over, if ever, I suspect that this will be here to stay.
In the early 2000s, you had to dial up to trade. Gave you a little more time to think about where you're going to click the button.
Well, yeah, I think when did DSL start? It was like, right around 2001. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, that's true, actually. Although you had T1 connections at work, which is where you could do your trades. And don't forget that back then it was like $18 a trade or something on E-Trade. And now it's free. So another thing, and that is another thing, of course, behind the rise of the retail investors is commission-free trading.
Well, free in air quotes, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely, of course. I mean, as we've said, if something is free, then you are the product. So, and we've seen that. And in fact, just this week, that didn't Robinhood stop trading in AMC at one point? I think they did.
They did, so, only because the NYSE halted it, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at least they got there. Their fall guy then.
They got blamed for it and they had to tweet out and explain this is not us.
Oh, so the NYSE did. Okay, right. Because
there's volatility halt.
Sure. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. I guess that goes to show what you get from reading the tweets, because I read all this outrage about Robinhood and including Davey Day Trader. Anyway, all right, that's it for this week. Thank you for being with us. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you listened to the podcast and did not see the video, please do check the video. It's on the website seekingalpha.com/videos. You can check our YouTube channel as well to see that. And if you are watching, please do check out the audio, which sometimes is a little longer as we have to truncate some of this stuff to make it fit on the video for the video file. But the audio posts along with the Wall Street Breakfast podcast every Saturday morning at 6:30 a.m. So if you're watching or listening, we thank you for being with us and wish you a happy weekend and look forward to speaking to you again next week.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.